This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Mike? Please show Lance and Claire to the studio. Can you do that for me? Right this way. Oh, God, this guy. You know what he does? He makes it hard. I need help. I don't need him making it hard. So we've got that microphone. You can talk into that one, Claire O'Kane. And then we've got Lance Bangs here. You can talk into the mic the studio is setting up for you.
Do we have to wear the cans?
Cans help.
Yeah, put
on the cans.
The hat comes off, the cans go on. When Lance Bangs takes that hat off, you know it's business, right? You wear a hat so well, Lance.
It's to keep the hair out of my ass.
Is that why?
Yeah.
It's active.
I don't like hats. Like, I'm, you know.
You don't like them? But you know what I think you do like, though? Directing! You direct a million things, Lance Bangs. And Claire O'Kane, we have so much to talk about.
Oh, man.
You.
Yes.
Mike. Wait till you find out the connection that Claire has to this show. She has a connection to it that no one else has. What's the most memorable story I've told over the last 5 years of the show, Mike?
Patty Smith and the Outback.
Yes. And I'm going to tease this by saying, guess who saw it? So the elements go down.
Yes. Get a load of this.
She was not in the elevator. That was just two people, me and Patty.
Humble Pie, the spirit of Humble Pie.
We will talk about this in a moment. But what I want to tell everybody, you two are joined together, two forces becoming Voltron-like now. 1 + 1 = 11.
Wow.
Because you have a show now. It's called Flop House.
Yeah.
Right?
That's yep. It.
And it's a part of this Vice. Vice is this multinational corporation that is one, it's bigger than Pillsbury at this point, right?
You yeah. Bet.
It's probably like below Exxon. But, like, above, like...
Purina.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, Purina is looking up at Vice
yeah.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like...
With puppy dog eyes.
Yeah. Mike, sidebar.
Yeah.
You reminded them that this is not a toilet podcast. This is not Flop House where they can say whatever they want. Did you? Oh.
We know the show.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You said Jonah Ray was in here last week.
Yeah,
you'd think he was at a longshoreman all of a sudden. Guy's like, I know the show. And then he drops the F-bomb with the two times in 3 minutes, like he was trying to set a record, like it was a race. So So you have this show, Flophouse, yeah. Part of the Vice. What is it called? Viceland?
Viceland.
Viceland, which mm-hmm. is their network.
Yeah, it's a TV network that we started kind of secretly building in the fall of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of Spike Jonze is a creator director. And
Spike Jonze.
Yep.
Yes.
And started trying to make shows that were, the first batch of them were not scripted. They're just things that are sort of documentary based or traveling people we thought were interesting and mm-hmm. following them and making TV shows out of it. And it's running on cable. Like it took over what was History Channel 2. And so
H2.
Yep. So for people that still have cable or TV, like they can watch it that way, or it's
some
also...
of us haven't cut the cord yet.
All right,
I'm gonna say this: try watching some of this stuff. You end up staring at a buffer thing half the time.
Right.
So no, people shouldn't. It hasn't been sorted out yet.
Yes. So you can watch it that way, or you can watch it online, or through YouTube, or like an app. That
okay.
You can but essentially, one of the things I wanted to make was a show that covered underground comedy and emerging young comedians. Mm-hmm. And Claire and I had met. I had a show at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland.
Yes.
That I had her perform on. And realized that there were these kind of pockets of interesting people living in different houses and crash pads across the country that were kind of supporting each other. And, you know, Claire might stay at the Sylvan House in San Francisco and then move down to Los Angeles when she wanted to do shows there, mm-hmm. but would let people from the Bay Area come crash with her. Or this kind of like emerging pattern of people moving from Denver to Atlanta to, you know, Chicago and then coming back to Los Angeles and all doing shows and helping each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of started making short documentaries about the lives of people like Claire and then throwing a house party and having people perform in the garage or on the rooftop or backyard. Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
It's been great.
I saw the first one.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Some friends of the show.
I know I say. I like when I say it and it sounds like I'm like either A, I'm talking to 4-year-olds or I secretly hated it. And uh-huh. I'm like, congratulations, congratulations. It's like, ooh, that was a weird way to say you liked it.
So you hated it?
No, I liked it.
Good.
That's just the way I talk to people. That's why I'm on the more friendless side of the spectrum. Tends to be a turn off when you want to consider hanging out with someone or not. Well, how do they talk to me? Man, he talks to me like I'm a 4-year-old. I think we'll go hang out with somebody who talks to me like an adult. That's my problem. It is not your problem. It's not the problem of Flophouse or Viceland. So this network.
Yeah.
Spike Jonze. Lance Bangs.
We tried to get you to do some stuff.
No, you didn't.
We tried to get you to do that thing where I'd sneak into the sporting events. And you never made time.
I didn't make time. I said I couldn't.
Wow.
No. You wanted to go to like a football game or something. You ever go to a football game?
Yeah, they're horrible.
They're the worst thing ever. You go to like a baseball game or a basketball game and it's like fun and well lit and like colorful and exciting. And you go to like a football game and it's just cold and just every degenerate is there. Just you can't see what's good. You have no idea what's going on the field.
But it made for better conversations. That was the whole setup.
Well, we couldn't. John and I. You asked John and I.
Yeah.
We couldn't. We couldn't make it happen schedule wise. We were all over the map at that point. You tell me you can't find a home. It's called Viceland, and 10 feet away. You've got AP Mike out there.
Wow.
You can't pair him with Spike Jonze? Think of him with Spike Jonze.
That'd be amazing.
What do you think Spike Jonze would make of AP Mike?
We'd sort of go meet everyone at Masa's Tavern, follow them home, see
gritty,
what their lives are like.
Real.
Yeah. See what they never got around to doing in their life, and then go film them trying to make it happen.
Just picture, I think Spike Jonze, he goes into Masa's. He probably says, I went there a few weeks ago, went in to say hi to Mike as I was passing by on a Sunday, and I go in, drink a seltzer water, and then leave, tipped Mike $10, not that I'm trying to rub that in Mike's face, but, and then I leave, and the people there say to Mike, who was that MF-er? That's all they start saying. Like, who was that guy? Oh, you mean the one who tipped for his drink? Yeah, that was not one of your kind. Someone who was appreciative and didn't outstay their welcome? Didn't nurse one drink till the end of time? Yeah, that was his name was Tom. But picture, Spike Jonze goes into masses. I think there's a swirly in his future, right? But wouldn't it be exciting if he bought one of his own movies in the Duane Reade parking lot?
That would be great.
Right? Like, Mike sells him a copy of Her. Well, first of all, Mike doesn't sell the movies. Did you bring in Her, though, Mike?
What's
that? Her?
No, I actually saw that in the movie theater.
Oh, you saw it in the theater. You didn't actually, for some reason I can picture a street copy of Her floating through this studio at one point. So what else is on, you've been doing this for almost a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, sort of like late 2014 that we started, and then we started hiring more people like in early 2015 and running around and making a bunch of shows. Mm-hmm. There's another show called Party Legends where we probably also might have reached out to you or some of your friends to get stories that we would then animate.
All this reaching out. Why am I not? Why is nobody's? You asked me to go to a football game. What? So what is it? It's
people telling their best stories. Mm-hmm. Usually, funniest, wildest, weirdest stories, often with drinking or mm-hmm. being out socially or things going wrong, or tour stories from bands or performance stories from comedians.
Sure.
And then pairing up with like interesting young animators and doing it through Starburn, Stan Harmon's.
Yeah.
Animation company, and making these animated pieces for them.
That's awesome. And all these things are starting to roll out.
Yeah. The network just went on the air yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's fantastic.
And Flophouse, a show that Claire's on, it runs on Thursday nights at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to go online, you could probably see it now. It's already up there on YouTube and on the website.
Available. Yeah.
Yes, it's out there. Right. Mm-hmm. People could torrent it. Yeah. Like I look at the young person and say the word torrent. Right? You guys torrent stuff, right?
Dot wave file.
Yeah, don't you like turn that into like a dot wave file. Now you Lance Bangs.
Yeah.
You've directed so many things. I'm gonna just name some of the things here. All sorts of stand up specials. Todd Barry's crowd work special you did.
Yeah.
You went all across the country with him on that.
Yep.
You did Marin's special
a few years ago,
which I'm in.
Yep.
That was the day of the
Boston
Marathon
really?
Bombing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And then that day, like the prep for a thing like that happens in the early afternoon. You guys were working. You guys were getting the Le Poisson Rouge ready for filming when the news came
through. Correct, when the news came through.
Yeah. Because I was walking down the street in New York and some guy said, he screamed out, they just blew up the marathon and bought, like, you know, when you know when news is like not coming in yet, you're not sure what it is. Some guy said on the street corner, waiting across, he said, they just blew up the Boston Marathon. They just blew up the Boston Marathon and they're going to blow us up next. And then I was like, wait, oh boy, can't wait to watch that comedy show that's about to. And then Mark was like, what am I supposed to do with this now? Yeah. What am I supposed to talk about it or not talk about it? And he didn't talk about it, which I think was the right thing because you're doing a thing like that for not just for that night. It would have been hard to follow. I think, in a way, somebody watching it 2 years later, because it's all about content. That night, it was all everybody was thinking about, but context-wise, it would have been 2 years later. It's like, what happened again with the thing? It would have killed the special.
Yeah.
And he also was on a tear that night. He was so good that night.
I think the thing to do in that situation is to acknowledge it to the crowd. Not in the context of the taping of the show, but to like as a human,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're all in the space together and you're all probably questioning whether you should have stuck around
mm-hmm.
or bailed and, you know, gone back to be with someone. I think it's worth acknowledging it and kind of addressing it before you go into the material.
Yeah. But there's no right answer for any of that stuff. I'm looking because we're doing this hashtag. I put out the luckiest people alive for tonight. Here are some of the things that have come up so far. Steve Wilkos. The Jerry's. I gotta say, that person might have finished the topic. I think the topic might be done now.
Steve.
Yeah. Jerry Springer's muscle bound bouncer who got his own show for years and is probably, I mean, how much money does Steve Will? Probably $8 million he probably has in the bank, right? Like, not a ton of money. In show business terms.
But enough to live off of the interest.
Comfortable.
Yeah. He's scored.
He can travel with his family.
For life, he's taken care of now. For being able to grab people fake running at each other for fights.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That he, who else is here? I see here's Adrian Grenier is on there. Lucas Haas. That's a weird one.
That is a weird one.
I wouldn't think. Oh, you know who has it so easy?
In 1999.
Lucas Haas. Right? Right? I know. It's like, yeah, and I would say when you're painting the thing, it's just like, okay, post, what, Mars Attacks? He was in Mars Attacks?
Yeah.
Really?
He was. He was the kid in Mars
Attacks.
Was he
in Brick?
Brick? Was he in Brick?
I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he was in Brick. And then, I don't think he's been so lucky. Not that he's unlucky or bad or anything. It's like you don't just think of him as being on Easy Street. Lucas Haas.
He's great, though.
Bob Zamuda. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, that's a big check.
He's still floating around.
He's a floater, all right.
Yeah. He is. He's a floater, all right. See, I saw how you slipped in your filth. Wait,
you thought that was blue? I'm not coming from a blue place.
Mike, what's the judge on filth comedy saying somebody is a floater? You're good.
Okay.
But if he's good on it, that means it was filthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Clara O'Kane.
Yes.
You started doing comedy where?
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
City by the bay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The city that's known for things like Fisherman's Wharf.
There you go. Or Madame Tussauds at Fisherman's Wharf.
Yes. The Ben and Jerry's at Fisherman's Wharf. Alcatraz.
Yes.
The Seals. The Sea Lions.
Sea Lions. Seals. Mm-hmm.
The Sea Lions. Do you like the sea lions?
I like the sea lions. I like watching them.
Yeah.
Just kind of be
you ever
fart
watch,
around.
Yeah. You ever watch the sea lions, Lance?
Oh, yeah. I go there all the time.
I love it.
It's great.
I went there once. I saw Hank Azaria watching the sea lions. And then all I did was watch Hank Azaria watch the sea lions.
Do you ever watch them gang up on one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's
that
dynamic? What's going on?
Because for people who don't know, in San Francisco in the late 80s, I think after the earthquake or the early 90s, whatever, the sea lions just showed up and started hanging out. They just showed up and then the city gave them what do you call those little like rafty things? What are they?
Like a jetty?
A jetty, yes. Thank you. I'm not very nautical. I don't know why he would look at me like, why does he not know nautical terms?
I didn't know. I was projecting.
I think of them as just floating rafty things. Uh-huh. And these sea lions, like hundreds of them, just pile on those things and they lay there all day. Mm-hmm. And now people just come and stare at them. And then, but then when you watch, you think, oh, the sea lions is going to be so much fun. And then they do. They just shove each other around and scream in each other's faces. And they're, because they're just trying to get sun.
Yeah.
But then they'll just like straight up, like just shove.
Yeah.
In other words, just like, just push them. Suddenly see a sea lion get pushed into the bay.
There's only so much space on the jetties. Yeah.
But they definitely gang up on someone, won't let them get back up.
No.
No. Stay down.
Sounds like a Viceland show. Right? Get a couple GoPros, strap a couple GoPros to some sea lions' foreheads. Right? Sea lion. What if we call it? And I'm pitching, straight up pitching you this show now.
Great.
We call it Wharftown, USA, right? And one element of it is the sea lions. We'll strap cameras to their heads. Other things we'll go with, we'll put GoPros inside bread bowls of Manhattan and New England clam chowder. And people, you watch them realize that they're being filmed as they work their way through a loaf of bread filled with soup. And then what else is down there that we can film? Dude's painted silver, right?
There's the Bushman.
What? Oh, that's right. The Bush. Yeah. Somebody was talking about the Bushman a couple weeks ago.
On this show?
Right?
The Bushman?
Yes. Somebody was talking about the Bushman. He was a dude who jumped out.
He just had a couple of sticks in front of him, mm-hmm. and he'd be just very, like, next to a trash can where no one could see him coming up. But you see, people are surrounded, so there's a ruckus.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not paying attention, you would just walk right past him, and then he spooks you out of nowhere.
But then he like, got thrashed or something, right?
I think something bad happened.
Like, he's not with us anymore, maybe?
I don't know.
They might have...
Maybe rest in peace, Bushman.
Maybe. Let's just say, rest in peace, Bushman. Prove us wrong. Right? Looking at this here. Who is this? The bassist from Coldplay. Somebody's saying luckiest people of all. I could see that.
Yeah, that's up there.
Coldplay bassist.
I couldn't think of a Coldplay bass line to save my life.
Trying to think. All I think of when I think of Coldplay is that one song that's like, no, 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 no.
Maybe the bass is boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I picture. Maybe he's not even on it.
No.
It's just piano. It's like Chris Martin's like, all right, we'll do the bass later. And finally, like, all right, let's just put this thing out. Like, so we're going to do my bass part. It's number one. Just shut up. You're still getting paid for it. As long as you're wearing your weird patchy. Those weird Sergeant Pepper, ripped up Sergeant Pepper jackets that they were wearing for a while. You ever notice when bands and musical, like David Bowie had like maybe, it's like people just like, David Bowie died, everybody got to look at the whole career and be like, oh my God, he was my favorite person ever. And I'm one of those people. But then I also was just like, wow, there's like a good 12 years where he was the worst dressed rock artist, his Union Jack.
Alexander McQueen, Union Jack. Yeah,
those long coats.
Mm-hmm. Orange hair.
Yeah, and the ripped up clothes when he would wear like those. He wore a lot of ripped, kind of reconstituted clothes. It was like, looked like Oliver Twist chic, like some version of that. So yeah, the bassist from Coldplay. Lars Ulrich. The dancing guy from Mighty Mighty Bosstones. That's a really good one.
That's a good one.
I would say anybody in Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Those dudes have... That's a pretty sweet run they've had. Yeah. That one song, that guy can't sing. You listen, it's like double tracked. He's still a terrible singer.
What did you do when all that ska stuff was coming through Central Jersey, North Jersey?
A whole lot of nothing. I stayed away from that. It went right... It was huge in New Jersey. New Jersey was one of the biggest places for ska.
Full of rude boys?
Full of... I don't know if they were rude. They were just rude dudes.
Yeah, rude like, dudes.
Not even rude boys. Just rude dudes. Rude bras.
So you skipped all the shows at the Court Tavern in City Gardens when that would all go on?
I would go see other things there. I saw some good stuff at City Gardens. City Gardens. Imagine a giant black box.
Yeah.
Dropped from the sky into
a junkyard.
An industrial park in Trenton, the scariest neighborhood ever, and then bands you want to see play there, but you're worried your car is not going to be there when you leave the venue,
right.
Is what City Gardens was like. Like, everybody played there, and it was always terrifying. Just imagine that.
That sounds
awesome. Like the smell.
Yeah.
That place. That,
oh, now I can.
When I went there to the smell in Los Angeles, I was just like, oh, this is the first time I felt that City Gardens feeling in years. And it was like, this place, the funniest thing, the smell, it's just like, I was like, this place smells disgusting. And then it's like, yeah, it's called the smell. It smells in here.
But City Gardens was like three times bigger than the smell.
Oh, City Gardens was enormous. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it just one big room?
It's one large room. There's a bar in the very back
that
they do some stuff in. Mm-hmm. And like John Stewart was a bartender there. James Murphy worked the door.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a crazy combination of characters and people.
But on the whole, it was a huge room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have like Gwar played there a lot.
Sure.
Like Gwar considered City Gardens. Like, yeah. Just like. Put a star next to that one on the tour itinerary. Like, putting the tour together. Playing City Gardens, right? Odorous. Yongorous. I can't. So, San Francisco.
Yes.
Then you moved to Los Angeles.
And I moved to L.A.
But you and I, we met in Los Angeles the first time.
We did.
When it was at the... Because, you know, you go to a museum in Los Angeles and it has to be about movies.
Sure.
Right?
Only.
Yeah. The Los Angeles, what is it? It's LACMA.
LACMA.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So naturally you go to LACMA and it's a thing about movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say it's any different here when there was actually, for a really long time, Tim Burton had his thing.
Yeah.
Where it's just like.
I tried to get into that.
And you couldn't get in.
You couldn't get in.
Yeah.
People are going cuckoo over it.
Couldn't stare at his drawings of Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there should be just a show business museum, right? Shouldn't there just be a show business museum?
Definitely.
So we met at that while we were...
I saw you and I recognized you.
And I was probably staring at his notebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
Through
a scribble.
Yes.
Through a piece of glass.
Yes.
And I approached.
And we talked and had a nice conversation.
Yes.
But then, that is just a mere bagatelle before the main symphony of the next time we met. The year is 2015, January 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The city is San Francisco.
Japantown.
Mm-hmm. Right before the Sketch Fest. I'm in town doing the tribute to Sharpling and Worcester. You're at the hotel in the lobby and you say, hey, how are you? And we talked and you said you were doing a show that night and we had a nice conversation,
yes.
Right? But then what happened?
We're sitting in the lobby.
Yeah.
We kind of look over and you say, that's Patti Smith. And I say, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You're like, I saw her earlier. I just keep seeing her.
I keep seeing her.
And I say, oh, that's great. Walks out. She was playing at the Fillmore.
Mm-hmm.
And then we parted ways.
Yeah.
It was an exciting moment.
Yeah. And then I went into the elevator with her.
That day?
Oh, yeah.
The same day?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you were right there when it went down. You could have stopped it. Why didn't you stop me?
I had a feeling something would go wrong.
You could have spared me the indignity of getting dragged into the story that will never, I will ever, never, ever, never, never, ever shake that story.
How often do you think about it?
How often do I think about it?
Mm-hmm. What triggers it?
I don't mind it. When I think about it in my own mind and I'm just like, and there's times I'll actually think about Patti Smith and forget that that this is what I'm now apparently supposed to think of when I think of Patti Smith. I guess when somebody comes up to me and they just say like, oh my God, that Patti Smith thing was so stupid. Like when they're just like taking such glee in how embarrassing it is, I'll just be like, oh, you're right. But then I end up feeling like, oh, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
It's totally relatable.
I don't know if anybody would bring up humble pie. I think that's on you.
But you, no, it's all on me. I bear the 100% of the burden of it.
It's a great story.
But it's like everybody has a thing like that. Lance, you must have a thing where you met somebody and put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah, for sure.
What's one that comes to mind? You don't have to tell the whole thing. Just say the name.
It was Patti Smith related. It was in 1995 she started doing public performances again a little bit, and Lucas Haas was around, come to think of it. Yes. He was hanging out with
Lucky Lewis.
Michael Stipe.
Okay.
And Michael was going to go tag along on the tour that she did opening for Bob Dylan, did like a string of dates in Philadelphia at the Electric Factory, and then kind of from New York and all down the East Coast. And so Michael tagged along to take photographs, and I was traveling with him and then drove him down the rest of the way to Athens, where we both lived at the time. And I think Michael had met Dylan before, but I hadn't met him and was nervous about what to say or how to interact with him. And people kind of kept away from him, like all the kind of concert promoter worker people had a sense of like, don't get in his way or mess with him or whatever. And then there was a pinball game in the dressing room of the Electric Factory of The Last Action Hero. I was playing that video game and everyone else had kind of cleared out of the room because it was supposed to be his time to get ready before going on stage. And I had like, you know, 3 or 4 quarters already loaded in and didn't realize that everyone had kind of like shipped it out to give him his space and ended up like disrupting him in his prep time before the show by playing The Last Action Hero pinball game. And then could not think of a polite way to once I stopped playing and realized what was going on that I was like fucking with his pre-show.
See, you did
thing.
It.
Yeah. And then managed to slide out. Oh.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
God, get out.
Can you believe this is... What's going on here, Mike?
Wow.
With these guys. It's the Jonah Ray effect. I don't... Yeah. It's Jonah Ray, the pioneer. All right.
So that's the story.
That's the story. Thank you for the story. That's a terrible...
Yes.
Because you're playing pinball. It's so loud.
And... Yes. And so dumb.
Claire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
At
Baby's First Gun. Gun. Mm-hmm. Claire O'Kane was taken, I should say. I should preface that.
Sure. So naturally, you had to go to Baby's First Gun as the next.
Yeah.
Not the Claire O'Kane or...
I think that might be taken too. I don't know.
The Claire O'Kane? I'm going to just get one of them tonight and...
Snatch it up.
Just start running my own account. Do you have a story like that?
I don't. If I do, I think I'd block it out.
Sure. You just instantly.
I did. Well.
See, here it comes.
I met Louis C.K. once.
Okay.
And it was in the green room of a show. A bunch of comedians were in there. And he came in. I was a surprise guest. And I'm a huge fan.
Sure.
And we kind of went to both look at water bottles. At the same time, look for a water, and there weren't any in there. And I was like, I think I know where they are. So I nervously ran down the hall to ask. I was like, Louis C.K. needs water. Just, and a person was trying to talk to me and have a nice conversation. Was like, oh, it's nice to see. And I was like, I gotta go get this water.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't find any.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I was like, hey, man, I couldn't find us any water. So he's like, oh, no, it's totally fine. I went, oh, okay, great. And then I just flipped him off for no reason and walked out and walked away.
Yeah, that I'm going to say, but you did you probably did it the right way.
Yeah.
So. It was your final, it was your departing gesture.
Yeah.
And then you didn't stand there and like say, like waiting for him to laugh or something.
No.
Like he was just eating your dust at that point.
I'm sweaty thinking about it. Well,
welcome
to the club. I feel bad about myself. But a huge fan. Wow, big fan.
Yes. What if I had done something terrible to you at that museum?
I think I was nervous about that too, but I think I kept my cool. I was a fan then too.
Well, I was nervous at that museum because I stole his notebooks. I had them in my jacket at that point. Stanley Kubrick's Lolita notes. So, guys, gals, guy and gal, like I'm guys. There's one gal, one guy. It was two guys. I'm a guy.
Oh, brother.
I'm gonna thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you. Yeah, for
I appreciate
us.
You coming. I know it was so last minute.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. You went to Wawa for the first time today.
Oh man.
Right.
What an experience. Touchscreen hoagies.
Yeah.
Three words.
No, it's not like LA's all burger places and everything. Here it's you pull in. You punch it in on a screen, and then they make you exactly what you want.
Yes.
With no creative input on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Make my sandwich. Mike?
Yeah.
You like Wawa?
No, I don't really go there.
That's right. Mike is a quick check.
Quick check?
Yeah.
We got to check that out.
No, you don't. Quick check is basically like Wawa, but like worse in every way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just worse. Literally every way it could come in second, it comes in second. Worse donuts, worse sandwich thing, worse pre-made snacks, worse gas. Just the worst, Mike.
Yeah. Worse gas.
Yeah. No, the guys pumping it are creeps.
The pump men.
The pump men. That's the thing in New Jersey. Can't pump your own gas.
Yeah. That makes me nervous.
To what?
I just don't know how to deal with it.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Do you just sit in your car and then you give them your card?
This is what you say. Fill it up with 87, please.
Wow.
And then they say. Then 4 minutes later, they come back and you sign a thing. It's the greatest. Your hands don't smell like gasoline.
I like doing it myself.
But it creates jobs.
That's true. That's
and it's cheaper in New Jersey. The gas is cheaper.
It's so cheap.
How much is a gallon in California?
Oh, we're at a hot 230 probably.
Yeah, here it's like 130.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy. But you know what else is crazy? Anybody who doesn't watch Flophouse.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, again, where do people see this show Flophouse, which is this narrative stand-up variety reality
documentary show.
It's on television. It's what
Heard
used to
it?
Be Channel H2 is now Viceland. Mm-hmm. So all the major, you know, DirecTV, Dish Network, Time Warner, all those have it. And then if you don't have cable, you can watch it online at viceland.com. And then there's also an app that you can use on like Roku or Apple TV or your Android phone or iPhone. That's like a Viceland app.
Okay.
So it's out there.
And there's all sorts of shows coming up.
Yeah.
This is my last pitch, Lance Bangs, executive at Viceland. Picture AP Mike. It's a show called Mike and Spike Do America.
Oh, my God.
Right? on, and they're on, like, what should they be driving? What should they be driving in? A dune buggy?
An old bookmobile bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
An old bookmobile bus Oh my God.
Something this... where the back opens with two doors. They can just kind of sit.
And Mike does readings in every town.
Yeah. And the two of them just come out of the back of that bookmobile. How can you not walk this to him?
I can go
walk it down the hall tomorrow.
Later tonight.
Tonight. Later tonight. Walk it down the hall.
I still like your first idea.
Walk it. Oh, what? The Wharftown, USA? Yeah.
Bring Kurt Vile out there.
Get Kurt Vile. I'm telling you, Wharf on drugs. Wharf on drugs. And we get, what's his face? The guy from Star Trek who played Wharf.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. People just go watch the sea lions.
What is his name? Michael.
Michael
Dorn. He's like, this guy, Michael Dorn. He's like currently, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm right about this one though. With no claim to the character, he like currently still like does like Worf stuff online. It's just like, you realize we hired you to play Worf. You don't have control of Worf. Like you don't get to like keep figuring out what Worf is up to now and all that stuff. Just like, but I think he's still like kind of, but he'd be, what if we call it Worf It Up, right? And he's like, hello everybody, it's me, Michael Dorn. Welcome to the Fisherman's Wharf. This is San Francisco. Alcatraz. Madame Tussauds. Ben and Jerry's. I'm Wharf. And he's out there with the sea lions. Mm-hmm. Imagine him on one of those jetties.
Just getting shoved off.
Sea lion shoves him in. Like, Wharf makeup. Just coming off in the... Mike, and Mike would be out there on a jetty. Him and Spike Jones out on the jetty. I'm telling you, you just got to get Mike and Spike Jones. Wild Things too, right? Picture Mike as one of the Wild Things. Hey, what's up? I'm where the Wild Things are.
The crack of a Coors Light inside the costume.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This
11-foot high costume. And you just see, though, he's filling the top 4 feet of it with just Coors Light. You're not working the eyes too good there in there, Mike. You good? What? All right. Enough of picking on Mike. Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Claire O'Kane and Lance Bangs.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Burns. Segment producer, Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/The Best Show, and follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.